Welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for news and information from the Government Accountability Office. It's March 26th, 2010. To reduce risks to pilots and provide flexibility to the military, the Department of Defense has been increasing its investment in unmanned aircraft systems, or UAS. In the last decade, DoD's inventory of UAS has grown from fewer than 50 to more than 6,800. A group led by Sharon Pickup, a director in GAO's Defense Capabilities and Management team, recently examined the extent to which the Army and the Air Force are prepared to support this expansion of UAS capability. GAO analyst Jeremy Clucci sat down with Sharon to learn more.
The Department of Defense is looking to increase the nation's investment in unmanned aircraft systems by over $6 billion this fiscal year. What are these systems and how are they used by the military?
Basically, these systems do not carry a pilot, and they can be pre-programmed to fly on their own, or they can be remotely piloted by someone with a joystick or some other apparatus. So they can fly long-duration missions, and battlefield commanders use them for a variety of missions. For example, they can be used to protect U.S. troops by loitering over an area where the troops are operating and used to conduct surveillance of the area to detect any enemy movements or explosive devices or those kinds of things. They can also be fitted with a missile and carry out strike missions, or they can be used to identify targets with a laser for future attacks.
GAO identified some challenges resulting from this rapid expansion of the military's UAS inventory, particularly in the areas of infrastructure and personnel. Can you talk about some of these challenges?
Well, the bottom line is that while the inventories are growing, that the planning has not kept pace with the inventories, such that the military services, and in particular the Air Force and the Army, have not yet planned for all the types of support needed. For example, in the Air Force, the pool of pilots has to be divided between missions that are unmanned and missions that are manned. So in order to support the unmanned missions, sometimes the Air Force has to draw experienced pilots that normally fly manned aircraft and use them for unmanned systems. They're also experimenting with using personnel who have never been pilots before to operate the unmanned systems. In the case of the Army, what the Army's experiencing is an increase in workload. For example, in the past, they operated the unmanned systems from 12 to 16 hours a day, and now it's a 24/7 type operation. So their units haven't been organized or manned with enough people to pull those shifts. So they're having to look at, in the future, increasing the size of the units. Those are just a couple of the challenges.
The report also discusses challenges related to airspace and training. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about those challenges?
Well, most of the training takes place in the United States. So because the unmanned systems don't have some of the same features as manned aircraft, such as the ability to automatically on their own sense and avoid other aircraft, the FAA is pretty strict about the areas in which the military can fly the unmanned systems. The problem is that as the number of systems grow, the access to airspace is going to grow. So the department is in the process of trying to work with the FAA to mitigate some of the challenges associated with the airspace restrictions.
How do the Army and the Air Force currently approach training personnel on UAS operations, and what issues has GAO identified moving forward in that area?
Well, ideally, the military likes to train as they fight. So ideally, you would have Air Force Predators, for example, which is the unmanned system that typically supports the ground forces, in same proximity as Army ground forces when they train. But the challenge both services face is that a lot of the equipment is deployed overseas, so they don't always have assets available to train on when they're actually at the training centers.
What steps has GAO recommended DoD take to improve the military's support of its expanding UAS capabilities?
Well, with respect to training, we really have recommended that they come up with this overall results-oriented strategy whereby they have mitigation plans to address the airspace issue, for example, and also to make sure that their training is consistent with the environment in which they're operating the unmanned systems, and in particular that they have plans for addressing the lack of synchronization between the availability of assets when ground forces are training.
To learn more, visit GAO's website at gao.gov, and be sure to tune in to the next edition of GAO's Watchdog Report for more from the Congressional Watchdog, the Government Accountability Office.